This is your wake up call.
The Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned it.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning and they want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Being a mother, being a
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday. Drop one of Clues Bombs for me, goddammit. Okay, first of all, I want to say all praise is due to God. God is so good, number one. And number two, today is my anniversary. Okay, me and my wife. All right, and the reason it's my anniversary is because 20 years ago today is the first time I ever sexually penetrated my wife. Drop one of Clues Bombs for me.
So wait. So you celebrate the first time you had sex?
First time we ever had sex was June 8th, 1998.
How do you know that so well?
Because it was my cousin's born day, so we was at a party for him, and I had been trying to get with her for like a year, so we was always hanging out and going out and stuff like that. And we both got really drunk that night, and I just remember us falling asleep at my mother's house.
So it wasn't necessarily love. It was alcohol.
And you guys were underage drinking.
Definitely underage drinking. Definitely underage drinking.
So you took advantage when she was drunk.
We took advantage of each other, you know.
Would she say the same?
Yeah. It's funny because I actually asked her that one time. I asked her that recently. I asked her that.
Now you asked.
This is around the time Birth of a Nation came out. Okay. And that's when we first started having a lot of those conversations. I was like, technically, did we kind of like sexually assault each other when we first slept with each other, since we were both really, really, really drunk?
And underage.
And she was like, I never looked at it like that, but who cares? We've been together 20 years. Drop on a Clues Bomb for us, okay?
Nice.
I'm the only person that counts the first time you had sex with your woman as an anniversary?
As an anniversary, yes.
Yeah, probably.
Really?
October 8th was the first time we started, quote unquote, going out.
When the first time you smashed, though? How long you and your wife been together?
24 years.
24 years. And you don't remember the first time you smashed?
Nope. I do. I know around the vicinity.
Wow.
But the actual time?
No, you're supposed to know the exact date.
Watch it, bro.
You're supposed to know the exact date. If you've been with your woman a long time, fellas, all the brothers out there that have been with their woman a long time, you should remember the first time you ever slept with her. Okay, I remember it was June 8th, 1998.
It was an
old people probably remember if it's a date that is something happened, like
if it was a birthday or an event.
See, for me, it was August because it was right before I went to college.
Okay.
So, Guy and I, we were going out for over like a year and a half, 2 years, and right before I went to college, she allowed
you
me
lost
to
your virginity.
Penetrate, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but October 8th was the first time we going out. We celebrated.
Damn,
the first time
it was right before you went to college.
When you went out.
Yeah, right before I went to college.
Nobody cares about the anniversary of when you went out. We care about the anniversary of when you went in.
No,
that's when it counts. That's when it was official.
You know, I walked in the building this morning kind of depressed, right?
Why?
I listened to Kanye West and Kid Cudi's album.
I haven't heard it, man. Kids See Ghosts. I want to hear it.
And I didn't know whether I should be using drugs, if I should be feeling down. I should be shopping in Hot Topic.
Well, Cudi's a vibe.
Like, I was confused.
Cudi's a vibe.
You should not use drugs.
It's the reason a lot of these kids love Cudi the way that
Why
they
not?
Do. It's the reason a lot of these artists have grown up on Cudi the way that they do. Like, Cudi puts you in that mood. He puts you in that vibe.
I was sad.
But I like Ghost Town on Kanye's album is one of my favorite songs on the album. I love that record.
Pusha T got a dope verse on the album, too.
He turned that verse in last night.
How do you know?
Because I'm on Good Music's payroll. That's how I know.
No, okay.
He definitely turned that music. He turned that verse in yesterday.
But I was confused. I got to ask somebody, how should I feel about listening to this album? I didn't know what
how
to do.
How should you? You should feel however you feel.
I don't want to feel anyway. Like,
is it better than Kanye's album so far to you?
You know what it is, and I'm not going to lie. Sorry, everybody out there. I'm not a huge Kid Cudi fan.
I understand that.
Like, I'm not somebody, like, that he puts me in a dark place. I don't want to be in a dark place.
I understand
I want to be in a happy place.
I understand that. I like Cudi. I like Cudi. I dig Cudi.
Yeah, Cudi, I like some of his music, but I don't want to be in a dark place this morning.
I understand, but I haven't heard the album, so I can't give no critique.
Yeah, I haven't heard it either.
All right.
So you're telling me not to play that tonight when I'm providing the soundtrack in my bedroom for my 20-year smashing anniversary.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll put you dark. It'll get you... Well, then again, you never know. You might like going dark and sex and...
You're right.
It might be a new vibe. She should strap you up and strap your legs up and you know...
Let's be depressed on our anniversary. What's depressed sex like?
Yeah, I don't know. You try it. All right. Well, Niecy Nash will be joining us this morning.
Hey, Niecy Nash.
Second season of Claws.
Nice. I saw Niecy Nash yesterday. I did an event with TNT with Claws, a boss ladies panel.
So we'll kick it with her a little bit. And then we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yi?
We are going to be talking about Uber. Now they're doing something new to make sure that their passengers aren't drunk.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Tonight, game 4. The Warriors take on the Cavs at 9 in Cleveland.
Okay, you talking about being depressed. You out here listening to Kid Cudi and Kanye's out, man. You about to watch LeBron lose his, what's this, 6 finals?
I believe so. The 6 finals?
I don't remember. How many finals LeBron done lost? How many have you been to? 9?
He's been to 8. He's won.
Okay, so you're about to lose 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's be his 5th loss in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
But that's your king.
It's a team effort, not one person.
Oh, please.
That's your king. I want to see him win.
He's doing
what?
He's doing his part, though.
A game or two.
He's doing his part.
I just want to see him win a game or two.
He might win tonight.
Yeah, I hope he wins tonight. Kaepernick. Let's talk Kaepernick now, Yi.
Yes, Colin Kaepernick's legal team is going to seek subpoenas for President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence and other campaign officials. That's all for that collusion case against the NFL. So they're going to explore what the NFL owner's ties are with Donald Trump.
Drop on the clues bombs for Colin Kaepernick. He want all the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when the president gets subpoenaed, does the president have to show up to court?
I'm not sure if he has to show up legal representation.
You got a job.
Yeah, he can't leave his job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, what else are we talking about, Yi?
Now, Uber is trying to patent a way to use artificial intelligence to identify if a passenger is potentially drunk. Now, that will actually use a system that shows you if that person, for instance, is walking and like kind of shaky, if they're typing and very clumsy while they're typing. So basically, if a person's walking down the block at 1 a.m. Saturday around a bunch of clubs and typing clumsily, that means that person probably isn't sober. So Uber's response to that is trying to match up these drunken passengers with drivers who have experience with dealing with that or training and other things like that. Also, not giving people the option to have a shared ride. So if they feel like you might be drunk based on these algorithms, then they'll make sure that you don't share carpool.
So wait a minute. Who has experience with drunk drivers? Like, how do you mark that on your category? Like, how do you do that?
Maybe somebody that's been an Uber driver for a longer period of time.
Man, the only qualification I need for my Uber driver when I'm drunk is for him to be sober or her to be sober. All right, and take me where I need to go. All right, why Uber all in our business like this?
I'm with you.
Well, all right? For Uber drivers, they said dealing with drunk passengers is a drawback because drivers should get extra money for picking up drunk passengers.
No,
it's not
a big
deal, but it definitely gets old after about the 25th time. And they said a lot of people, some drivers, at least over 100 drivers, have been accused of sexually assaulting or abusing their passengers in the past 4 years. And a lot of times, those passengers were inebriated or drinking before they got into the Uber.
Well, that's not my fault.
That's
the drunk passenger. That's the Uber. That's your driver's fault.
Shouldn't even be working.
You should be worrying about hiring Uber drivers that are sexual predators, not worrying about me being drunk. I think that's very soft and sensitive, especially if you know, been in New York all your life. You know how many cab drivers had to deal with drunk people for years?
Absolutely.
Now, all of a sudden, the Uber driver's complaining about people being drunk. That's the whole point of us calling car services.
Now, right, I can't drive.
If you pee in the Uber, throw up in the Uber, that's something else.
Oh, man, that happened when I was in the Uber once, Paris.
She sat in the back seat, and
she was like, why is the seat wet?
And somebody peed right before.
That's awful. All right, let's talk about Brian Colangelo, who is the president, well, was the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's had to resign, and that's because a private investigation firm found out that the person behind several Twitter accounts that published damaging and private information about 76ers players was his wife. So his wife, Barbara Bottini, was the person that actually had those accounts and was publishing that information.
Drop on the clues bombs for her. Ride or die chick, damn it. Okay?
Why is that ride or die? She made him have to resign.
Yeah, but she was holding him down. I'm sure he told her to have those accounts. I'm sure he's the one who told her to set them up and use them. She didn't do that on her own, I don't think, right?
Well, you know, he said the content that she shared was filled with inaccuracies and conjecture, which in no way represent my own views or opinions. While this was obviously a mistake, we are a family and we will work through this together. He said he's not directly responsible for the actions. He regrets that it occurred and he understands it's a distraction for the team.
He ain't even throw his wife under the bus. That's dope, man. Mm-mm-mm. That's probably because she's taking the fall.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. 800-585-1051 is the Breakfast Club.
You should see this message that I'm adding to these flowers that I'm sending to the house today, too.
What are you going
to
say?
I said, happy anniversary. Thank you for letting me...
Smash?
I said the F word 20 years ago today. I love you.
That didn't rhyme.
Why does it got to rhyme?
You should make it rhyme.
What, man? Everything ain't got to rhyme. See, you need to rhyme. Rhyme things.
This should rhyme.
No. That was a haiku.
You should have said something like, tonight I can't wait because I'm going to suck. Thank you for that time where you let me...
Nah,
that's perfect.
Nah, nah, beige boy. No.
All right.
No.
Yeah.
Suck what?
Get it. Forget it. Get it off your chest. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on the Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Detroit the truck driver.
Detroit the truck driver. What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Oh, man, listen, I got to get off my chest, man. I got a girlfriend, but I'm falling for another chick, and I don't know what to do.
How long you been with your girlfriend?
2 years, man.
That's light.
Very light.
Light. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the new girl.
The new girl, she nice, man. We get along, you know what I'm saying? We bond. We on the same financial page, you know what I'm saying? We like to do the same shit.
Have you hit
the
yet?
The other ones, man, yes, and it's nice.
Well, talk about your night. Girlfriend.
See, my girl, she's a good woman, but she might not be for me, you know?
Well, wait until you smash the new chick and then get back to her.
No, the new chick, that's what I already did. She got some bounce back.
Oh.
You hear me? Yes. And we ain't have to wait before we graduated to college to get no
All right, with your language, man. Goodbye, man. Goodbye. Brandon, player, what's up, bro?
Hey, what's good, yo? This is B-Mont from the Metro. Hey, Angela, I had called, like, 2.5 weeks ago. I had a poll for you, and my phone, like, dropped the call, like, right at the beginning of it.
Yeah, we remember. I was happy that the call dropped.
All right, well, let's hear it.
Okay.
Don't embarrass the 803, sir.
See, look, there you go, interrupt. Mind your business, Charlamagne.
Oh.
That thing, that peep with tweet, that's ye, less is more.
Oh, my God.
Not 50, but 45 times I said this woman is special. Ye blazed the way, leave a little room for shade. Extracting all information, never room for gray. The art of your interview was something to fathom. Straight up questions. Work ethic, not question. Supreme conversational abilities combined with eye contact. Got all these feeling me. But that's you.
Oh, God.
Low-key YouTube sensation, high-key Brooklyn creation.
Woo.
Yeah, lady, you navigate this radio scene with ease. Hearing your voice for breakfast puts me at ease. Lip service from the queen. That thing, that beat, with tweet, pass ye.
Boo!
Whoa, yes.
Get this off the stage.
Thank you.
He's embarrassing
you.
Columbia. Knock that monkey stuff off. You're
and
embarrassing
he used the
us,
word
bro.
Fathom. I love it.
Okay, all
you're
right,
embarrassing
bro.
South Carolina,
hey,
bro.
Angela. Hey, Angela, that's for you and, like, your radio career. Like, we was listening. Oh, I was listening to the Angie Martinez interview and how she going in the Hall of Fame, and she should already be in there. And you're going to be in there soon. We're going to be talking about
well,
you
now
soon.
I got a ways to go,
he's shooting
but
his
thank
shot.
You.
He's shooting his shot. You single,
that was
brother?
Very sweet.
Ask her on a date. Go ahead.
Hey, look. I love you.
There we go. Damn, we
got
the call.
Your phone cut off 3 minutes too late.
Damn
bro.
It, man.
Jesus Christ.
Damn it, man.
It's 3 minutes too late.
Hello, who's this?
It's Q.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Man, I'm over here in Indiana, man. I just got finished with my fam, and I'm just happy to get up out of there, and I'm tired of messing with the justice system. I'm done with it.
Okay.
You tired of messing with your what?
The justice system.
Oh.
Yeah. The justice system, man. I did my time, man. You know what I'm saying? Got the white folks off my back. I'm just looking up on white now.
There you go.
All right.
Go handle your business, sir.
Get it off your chest.
800-585-1051.
If you need to vent, hit us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it. Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Shakira.
Hey, Shakira. Get it off your chest.
Hey, well, I want to get off my chest. I don't understand how these girls are getting these shows like Teen Mom. Like, why do they have an opportunity to be on TV just because they got pregnant at a young age.
Do you watch it?
I agree with you, man.
No, I don't. I don't watch it. Oh, I hate it.
I agree with you. I was watching something on MTV the other day, and they got a new show that's like Teen Mom, but it's like the same title, like Teen and Pregnant or something like that, or like,
like
Young Mom.
Yeah, it's plenty of people out here that it's hard out there for them with kids. And like, how about bring College Hill back or something with college students that are trying to do something with their life, you know?
I understand what you're saying, because I don't think, and I don't want any young girls to try to get pregnant to be on that. But there are a lot of teen moms who have been in that situation that perhaps a show like this could, you know, give them some help.
There's a lot. No, all they're really doing is exploiting those young kids. Like, why reward that bad behavior? It's really exploitation. That's exactly what it is.
Hello, who's this?
I never watched it.
Hey, good morning. This is Trey from NC.
What's up, Trey? Get it off your chest.
Not much, man. I called up here like 2 weeks ago about my city's utility bills being stupid high. So I went up there and threatened them to take the news channels up there, to call the radio station and everything. 2 days later, I got a regular bill that's $206. So I want to let everybody know who's in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Yo, go up there, put the pressure on them people because they know what they're doing.
Okay.
100, put the pressure. They know what they're doing.
You still got to pay that bill, though.
Man, tell me about it, bro. Also, I got a cousin, Ant Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. Mm-hmm. He got a hot new song called Been Around the Way. He's from Baltimore, Maryland. He the first person that actually been able to shoot the video since the 2015 riots up there in that neighborhood. Y'all go check it out. Ant Green, G-R-E-E-N-E, Been Around the Way.
Hello, who's this?
G from the Brick City.
Oh, my goodness. We ain't heard from you in a long time. We thought you got locked up, bro.
Ah, come on. I got a real job, bro. But I'm mad because the mayor of North recently closed down a few homeless shelters in North, and now I'm seeing homeless people just scattered everywhere with nowhere to go.
I thought you was about to tell us you ain't got no place to stay now.
Bruh, come on, man. Bruh, I have a house, a nice house, and I live in a good neighborhood in North. I'm doing good for myself.
No such thing, but continue.
What you mean no such thing? There's good things in North. Thank you, brother. There's some good things.
Salute to North, okay?
You can't salute to North.
Love that
you said that. Jessica!
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Get it off your chest.
Well, at first I wanted to say something about this girl at my job, but since I do have this opportunity to be on the radio, I just want to say that I am still upset that Flint, Michigan, my hometown, has still going without clean water. Mm. I think that it's messed up. I think that they give you the runaround. They're starting to close the water pods. So elderly people that can't afford to buy cases and cases and cases of bottled water now have to get their bottled water from these long lines at the churches. And I feel like it's unfair.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, Mama.
Well, it's really nothing you guys can do. But, you know, that just it opens your eyes to see, like, what the government is really about, because they sit and pretend like they actually care, but they really don't. And then they'll come to your town for elections, but then you won't see them anymore.
That's
you
know? Right. That's real. That's why you got to hold them responsible for all the things that they promised to do.
Yes, and I think that that is really crazy. So
the fact that people don't have fresh water in the so-called land of the free.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about a rapper who has gotten a multi-million dollar settlement. Also, Nicki Minaj will tell you what information she put out yesterday. It's very visual.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Right. I really want to know what Drake thinks about that L he took to Pusha T. Does he think that's part of God's plan? I really would like to know.
I'm sure he does think that.
Somebody ask him that when he goes out on his press run, because he's not coming.
He's not. I don't think
he's going to do his own.
He never really does press run.
He's going to do.
He does probably one interview.
Or whoever.
Be very safe.
Hey, Zane Lowe, when you go do that interview with Drake, that nice, safe interview with Drake, make sure you ask him if he thinks the L he took to Pusha is part of God's plan, okay?
My goodness. All right. Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Lil Wayne.
It's about time.
What's going on?
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, back in 2015, Lil Wayne sued Birdman and cashed money for $51 million. He was trying to get out of his contract as well. He also sued Universal Music for $40 million, saying he was owed royalties for Young Money artists. Well, according to court documents and The Blast, both of those disputes have been settled. It's an undisclosed amount. People are saying it's over $10 million.
Has to be.
It was paid for by Universal and not by Birdman himself.
So he getting his money then?
Yeah,
we don't know
money.
Exactly how much it is. It's undisclosed.
But he's getting it, though.
He's getting something.
Drop on the clues bombs for Lil Wayne, man. Happy for him.
Lil Wayne is also free from Cash Money.
Good.
All his future releases will be handled only by Universal. And the Carter 5 will reportedly also be released finally. So there you have it.
I wonder if it was Universal's fault the whole time, though, and Birdman was just getting the blame.
I'm not sure, but now he's no longer part of Cash Money, so maybe Universal paid him out.
Because Universal wouldn't be footing that bill for Birdman, would they?
But they
said, he's saying that for Universal, that lawsuit was saying that he's owed money for Nicki, Drake, the Young Money artists.
Yes, those are his artists, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, Lil Wayne's lawyer has confirmed that settlement. He did a statement to Billboard. He said he is his own man, a man that owns his assets, his music, and himself. At some point, Wayne will let his fans know what's going to happen next.
But they also said they were able to pay him because they know they were going to get the money back from all the future artists.
He's going to put out his music directly through Universal.
Just please don't put out any Lil Twist music, man. I heard Lil Twist diss record to Good Music, and I was like, you know what? I'm so glad Jay Prince intervened and stopped this.
I thought Lil Twist was locked up.
No.
Well, Nicki Minaj has also put out her artwork for her new album, Queen, that is scheduled to be coming out soon. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it. The album comes out on August 10th. But she posted, by the legendary Merton Marcus, my greatest work to date. Thank you for your patience and love. Pre-order next week. So everybody who is excited for the album Queen, you can start pre-ordering that album next week.
Can't wait to hear that. What about you, Envy?
I can't wait to hear it.
Okay.
Did you guys see the artwork?
I did see the artwork.
Revolt TV.
Artwork is dope.
Check it out.
It don't look like an album cover, but, you know.
It's a photo shoot. It looks like a photo shoot slash album cover. Looks
an album cover supposed to look like?
I don't know. I'm just hating.
Yeah, you are.
What's wrong with you?
Don't look like an album cover. All right. Atlanta has been renewed for a season 3, of course.
Hey.
Not a surprise. They did announce that yesterday. So we don't know if it's going to have a whole new title, like how season 2 had Atlanta Robin season. But, of course, they will be back on the air in 2019. So, congratulations to them. You know, I love that show.
So, this is coming back faster than the second season, King. Second season took a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Kevin Durant has surprised some students in the Bay Area. He's going to pay their first year of college tuition. Now, he's been doing a lot, and he's been working with the Boys and Girls Clubs in the Bay Area. He mentored several children, and he surprised 4 of those kids by paying their tuition for that first year of college. So here's what happened.
First year of college, we'd like to pay for it.
That was the moment is when I knew my whole life would change. That very moment.
I fell on the ground just knowing that somebody believes in you enough to literally invest in you.
It's something I always dreamt about and always wanted to be a part of something special outside of myself. So glad I could be able to help. It feels like I'm doing something good in the world when I help someone else out.
That's a major relief to get your first year of college paid for.
Yeah, drop on the clues bombs with Kevin Durant. It's a shame that they can't win the championship in Golden State this year so those kids can watch Kevin Durant get his second ring.
All right, Cheryl Underwood, she was on her show and the talk, and she shared some information. She was talking about Kate Spade and her suicide and also the note that Kate Spade left for her daughter. And here's what she had to say because, you know, her husband, Cheryl Underwood's husband, also committed suicide.
You'll never know. You'll never know if it's clinical depression. You'll never know if it's financial stress. You'll never know. I'm sad for her daughter for that to be in the note because my husband left the note. And what the note does to the person who's still alive is it shows that the person who's no longer alive has now had the final word. There's nothing you can do about it now. And that pain doesn't go away.
Mm. Oh, that's really sad, man.
Jesus Christ, it's Friday.
I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to bring attention to what's going on in the world. All right, so she did say that she hopes that the family can come together for her daughter because, of course, like she said, that pain does not go away, but it's not all woe is me. It's a journey. And she said everything she went through has made her stronger as well.
Please, and please don't turn on Kid C Ghost album immediately.
We're going to get that in the next hour. Definitely. Don't worry.
Don't do that.
No, you don't want to get
after hearing what you just heard, don't turn on Kid C.
You'll be confused.
Please.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. All right, guys.
It's Friday! Woo!
Is that supposed to hit me up? Am I supposed to get excited now?
Yes.
Am I supposed to get excited?
Yes, damn it. Shoot. Raise the energy in the room. God damn.
All right.
It's my 20-year anniversary, the first time I ever had sex with my wife, if anybody cares.
No.
Had sex with her June 8th, 1998. Just throwing that out there. Okay, so I feel good today.
But she was drunk. You don't know if she wanted it.
We were both drunk. We both took advantage of each other.
My goodness.
We married each other, so it doesn't matter.
All right. So All right. When we come back, Niecy Nash will be joining us.
Yes, the new season of Claws, Claws Season 2, starts again on Sunday, this Sunday. So I know y'all all going to be watching that Sunday night on TNT.
That's right. So we'll kick it with her when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yep.
Miss Niecy Nash.
Good morning.
Welcome.
A lot of pressure on you, Niecy Nash, because your nails always got to be done now because of claws. The first thing I looked at was her dope-ass nails.
They always got to be. And most what happens, people say, oh, do people always want to come to you and show you their nails? And I say, no, they want to see mine.
Then
they go, don't look at mine.
I don't want you to see mine either.
Yeah.
Do they always match your outfits?
No, this is just for today.
Okay.
Just, you know.
How often do you get your nails done?
We'll see for the show. I probably go through maybe 4 nail changes in a day.
Mm. Nice.
But in my real life, well, I don't know. I haven't had a real life in a while. But that's what I do on
now,
the show.
Now, does it affect, and this is going to sound crazy, I got a wife, so doesn't it affect your nails where it makes your nails not as strong? And
no, you know, they do it right by us.
There's gel under here.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, to protect it, and then we do custom press-ons at my
work. Yeah, I was going to say, you have to do press-ons because that's a lot quicker than having
we did that the first season, and it was torture.
Right.
Yeah.
I do SNS gel, the powder. You dip your nails in.
That's cute.
Yeah.
What's more important, nails or eyebrows? Because I saw you put on Instagram the other day, you never thought that eyebrows would be this important.
Oh, my God. When you was a little girl, we didn't know eyebrows was this important. And now that you've grown, like, they're everything. What's most important? The part that's below your navel, honestly.
Woo.
Let's just skip the rest of it.
Okay. All right. But nobody can see that, though.
Well, when they do.
Now, you know, I was reading this book by Sharia, Boss Bride.
Oh, yeah.
And she talks about you in the book, and I love the story that she told about your career as an actor and how you got started when you were married. And you say, you know what? Just give me this amount of time. Can you tell the story?
Yeah, when I was married to my first husband, he was very much like, if I'm going to work, everybody up in here going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had already had my third child. And I said, let me make a little deal with you. If you give me 9 months, I've given my body over 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
If I could have 9 months just for me, if I don't make it crack, I will go back to work and, you know.
And what were you doing before that?
I was playing on the phones at the airlines in reservations.
Playing on pretending to be making calls.
Just, you know.
Customer service.
Yeah, I worked at a McDonald's for one day and got fired, but that was when I was younger. And then I used to work retail.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, little things like that. But I was like, I will, you know, but I was in college too. And I was like, I'll go back to work. But if you give me 9 months, and it took me about 7.5 to get 3 jobs. Reno 911.
Mm-hmm. Great show.
Thank you. Clean House.
Mm-hmm.
And I was recurring on Bernie Mac as his sister.
Oh, okay.
See how
dope
that is? And it was kind of almost towards the end of that 9 month stretch,
it was
and
like,
you were like, gotta
like
go.
Around 7.5, 8 months. I was like, ooh.
What made you act? Okay.
I mean, I always wanted to do it since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. The first beautiful black woman I remember seeing on TV was Lola Falana.
I was like,
Grandmama, who is that? She said, baby, that's Lola Falana. And I was like, my eyes crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in that moment, God stamped on the canvas of my imagination that I wanted to be black, fabulous, and on TV.
Mm.
Yeah, that story is important. There's a lot of women out there who have children and feel like they can't pursue their dreams.
Baby, let me tell you what mm-hmm. I did. I was the only one. Now, you know, when all of my peers were working was when Tashina Arnold and Tisha Campbell, Essence Atkins had a show. All the girls were working.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one showing up to the casting office with 3 babies. I put them in the corner and make it like a little preschool. Get your coloring book. Where's her bye-bye? Hey, stop it. You know, and I would wrangle them up in the corner
because
what was you going to do?
Right.
What made you just cool out and have babies for a minute? Was it the guy? Was he...
No, I was always trying. I mean, I still, you know, booked a lot of things. Well, not a lot, but I booked some things even when I was pregnant. But I don't know. I was married. And then, I don't know.
Was he rich? Like, what got you so comfortable?
I don't know. You know what? Pisces are passionate. And we love love, guys. And I just, and when I'm in it, I be so swirly, right? I just be like, ooh, you know, and I just, yeah.
That's a superwoman story for real, though. She's bringing her kid, three kids 100%. To these casting calls. And it's great that your husband actually was like, yes, go for your dream. You know, for that period of time, because some people might have been like,
Yeah, no, and right. Been shady. So, yeah. You know, shout out to the ex and the next, because that's the one. Huh? Yeah, had to get that next one to get it right.
Yeah. You think the ex might have got, he was upset that you weren't working? Like that might have been very attractive to him in the beginning, but then when you started staying at home, he was like, eh.
No, I don't think so, because he always knew, like, even when I found out I was pregnant with my son, I was like, all I've ever wanted to do is be an actress, you know, so he already knew what my hustle was.
Right.
But I don't know, but it's interesting because you tell people your plans. And sometimes I think they don't think it's really going to happen.
Right. Right.
So they cool with you scheming and dreaming. But the minute, you know, really everybody happens. Eating, they like, whoa.
There's a shift in what happens when you're popping and things are really happening. I'm sure that's also kind of difficult.
Well, the one thing that I did do, though, mm-hmm. because I feel like I needed those 9 months to get it popping. When I was able to bring two checks home at a time, I did circle back around and say, tell me what it is you want to do.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that I can now provide provision support for you. The vision. Right. He did it for me. Mm. Like, what you want to do? I don't care what it is. Let's do what is it?
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to go to school to be in seminary. So I sent him to over to London to study the, you know, all of the good stuff. So, you know,
as your husband, you sent him over there?
Yeah.
Like, y'all married, you go over there, I'll take the kids and work.
She wanted him to pursue whatever it is.
I wanted him to, as well. I mean, you know what I mean? But I thank God for my mother because she helped me so much. You know, but yeah, but I mean, you got to trade off.
Right.
You got to, you know.
Well, why'd y'all get divorced then?
Huh?
Why did you get divorced? It sounded like it was working out good.
Listen, it wasn't working out good. See, that's the other part of the story.
That's why she sent him away. You go to London. This is my free time.
She was like, I'll pay for you to go to London.
No, you know what? I got married when I was really young.
Right, mm-hmm.
And you know, the same thing you want at 20, it don't shake out sometimes the same way once you 30 and 40. You know what I mean? You're like, I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grown now. What's some other thing?
You want to live a little bit.
Well, no, I didn't. I wanted to just be married again right away, just to a different guy.
Really?
I love being married. Mm. What? I can't put all this on the block, Charlamagne. Okay?
I mean, you can get top dollar for it out there.
Listen. If you don't call me vintage vagina, I'm going to be mad.
It's a Me Too movement.
Do
he's
that
not
no
talking
more.
About your vagina.
I reduce women to their body parts anymore.
Oh, well, I can appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can appreciate that.
As long
that.
As you know.
Oh.
There you go.
I see it right there. Okay.
Now, what's in the water in Compton? Because it seems like Compton produces so many stars.
Say it
and
again
great
for the people in the back.
What is in the water of food? What's going on in Compton?
Listen, we hungry and we trying to get it. I mean, and let me just tell you, the same day I met my ex-husband, I met Anthony Anderson.
Mm.
Another one straight out of Compton. Mm-hmm. Venus and Serena, Ava DuVernay. I mean, there's so many, you know, great people who have come from there, you know, and I don't know what they got in that water, but I know we trying to get it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got more with Niecy Nash. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Niecy Nash in the building. Charlamagne?
I saw you celebrating your 7-year wedding anniversary with a Wakanda theme.
Yeah.
Word. How was that?
It was dope. But all my parties are dope, though.
Yeah. Everybody loves you. Like, I see so many people just showing you love. Especially, I love the fact that other women love you so much.
I love them, too.
I think
too.
That's important because you help so many people out and support them, and they support you in return.
I'm grateful for my community, you know. And I always try to pay everything forward. And I think that's why things come back to you. I was talking the other day saying that I've never gotten a job and not gotten somebody else a job. I feel like if I'm eating, then that means I have the opportunity to help somebody else do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that because I move like that, it just keeps coming back around. I just, so many amazing people, you know, you're going to get a measure of what you put out in the world. And I'm, you know, I'm just... want everybody to live their best life.
That's dope. Let's talk about Claws, because that is
Claws,
my show.
Let's talk
and
about
And it's coming
Claws.
Back for season two on June 10th. It premieres. It comes back again. I was very excited to see this. Now, I know there was apprehension in the first season because they were making fun of Karrueche, but I love the fact that she got a shot to be on Claws, and I think she does a great job.
Did you get her that job?
Yes.
Okay.
I think she does.
You said you get somebody a job in every...
No, it's like, hard, though, because the position that she was in was difficult. People were very critical of her and acting like she didn't have her own life and things going on. So I think that was a real blessing for her as well to be able to showcase her talent.
It was one of the roles that was cast last, and they just were having problems finding that girl. Mm-hmm. And she came to mind, and I said, what about this girl? And she had to come in, like, maybe four times. But she ended up booking it.
Nice.
First season. When I say leaned in, was very available to learn what she didn't know, you know, and all of us, you know, rallied around her to help her and support her in that. But I love the fact that, you know, just when somebody thought they knew you, just when they thought they knew what you was going to be about, something happens in your life and it takes you in a whole nother direction. You know, so I'm happy for her that she's just not known now for one moment in time when she was young in her life, but she's maturated to a point where, you know.
She plays that role good. She plays that role great.
I think so.
I think so, too.
Were your actress friends mad at you? Like, why would you recommend her?
No, they were not, because I've recommended all of them the stuff, too.
Right.
So, thank God we all in it together.
And that's all you can do is recommend. It's not like you're promising them anything.
No, you just refer them to the project, but you can get them a little further up the food chain instead of, you know, starting at the bottom. You know what I mean? But I thought it's funny because you just asked me, what did I see in her? Mm-hmm. And that character, Virginia, was defined by her past. Mm-hmm. And needed to catch a break and really needed a community to belong to. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was a similar space.
Sounds like she was typecasted to me.
Well, you know what? Don't simmer down over here. No, but yes. No, but no. Stop it. Anyway, she's doing a good job. You knock it off.
Yes, she is.
And I love your boss character on the show as well, and that you got a little grimy things going on the side as well. It's very multidimensional.
You know what I love the most about playing Desna is that I represent so many of my friends on TV on the south side of 40, not married, no kids, and... you know, is unapologetic about who she is, having sex for her own pleasure.
Right.
A lot of
sex on Claws.
You said scammer. She got that part going on, too. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that to see that woman and not be, you know, super thin and not, you know what I'm saying? It was very important to me that I play a character who wears her hair like in a blowout natural because... Mm-hmm. That girl is on the block, but not on TV.
Right.
So it's just a lot of things where I feel like women get to see themselves in her and not the scammer part, but some might see that part.
Absolutely.
Very relatable to people in Brooklyn. Is there any illegal act that you've done on Claws that you've done in real life?
No.
She sell pills to people?
No.
Scamming is naturally.
Natural limitations is up to
you. No.
So if you've never done any illegal acts in real life, how do you relate to the character on Claws?
She's like a mother hen to these women.
Very loyal.
She cares for all those girls, and she wants everybody to win. In season one, when she got that money, she could have just been like, boom. Mm-hmm. But she went and gave everybody some so everybody could eat. And, you know, she likes being a girl. I mean, she enjoys it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like... I'm right in that same line.
And that's one of the major themes of Claws. It is about a sisterhood and women really looking out for each other and taking care of each other and helping each other out always.
Girl power.
Mm-hmm.
What caught you about Wakanda that you wanted that to be your anniversary theme?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I love the movie, Black Panther. And I was like, last year we did a My Adidas theme. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, what are we going to do this year? And then I was like, Niecy J and Wakanda forever. I don't know. It just came to my mind. And I was like, yep. And let me tell you what. Who went hard in the paint was that dang gone Blair Underwood. He came in there looking like the Princess Zamunda. I was like, that's what you giving right now, Blair? So, yeah, but we had a good time.
Charlamagne says there's no light-skinned men in Wakanda. He says we're not allowed.
Mm-mm. It's a neighboring city called Wakanda for all the beige people. all the beige people over there.
Well, you know, at my party, listen, everybody there wasn't black. But they came and they represented, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? My BFF, Chrissy Metz, was there from This Is Us, and she put her little get-up on. I'm like, come on in, colonizer. I love you.
Did Black Panther make you want to get closer to, like, your African heritage?
What you know what it makes you want to do is really find you some way to go do a yep. real DNA mm-hmm. thing to find out, like, where are my people from? Like, right. what is going on?
So we got you. African ancestry. We got you.
Uh-huh. What?
So seriously.
Yeah. You can
your give DNA your information.
You can see what tribe you're
I hope I'm not adopted. I hope I'm not adopted. My parents are dark skinned and brown skinned. I hope I'm not adopted.
I think you are. Because I did 23andMe, and I'm 97% West African, but African ancestry goes deeper and tells you what tribe and what country you're from.
What?
Yeah, man. Man,
100%. I'm getting my whole life up in here.
Yes. We got more with Niecy Nash when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Niecy Nash is here. Charlamagne?
Now, I didn't know you had such a rough childhood.
Yeah.
You are...
What's the funny thing about that is that people will look at you and never know what you may be going through
right.
or never know where you are at that point in time.
That's why I'm always intrigued by stories like yours, like when you can overcome that kind of adversity. Like, you watched your mom get shot in the back?
Yeah, my mother was shot by her boyfriend, and, like, probably as close to me as I am to you, mm-hmm. and he shot her with a sawed-off double-barrel shotgun, and she was turning to run, and that's how she got shot in the back. Mm. And thank God, she's still with us. And wow. then the day before my 23rd birthday, my brother was murdered. He went to high school and never came home. Oh, somebody brought a gun to school. And so many different things. My parents had a tumultuous divorce, and you know, prior to that. But I've just seen so much and witnessed so much. And I'm so grateful that God built me to be resilient. Mm. And so even on your darkest day, like even when I was getting divorced, I signed in the paper, and the first thing I said, the next time I do this, it's going to be different. I was already planning the right. next time mm-hmm. because I didn't want to give up on love. I don't want to give up on life. And I said, I'm the kind of person, if you read my story on paper and then somebody said she wearing an orange jumpsuit for a couple years, you would be like, get it. Mm-hmm. Or she locked up in the crazy house.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, it makes sense
right.
on paper. So I'm just grateful that I still have a reasonable portion of my right mind, mm-hmm. But that my heart is still open.
Yeah. So that's why you have the organization Mavis?
We used to have Mavis. It was called Mothers Against Violence in Schools. We had it for many years, mm-hmm. and then my mother just got too overwhelmed. She was just like, I can't. I need to step away from it for a little while because it's heartbreaking. You relive it over and over and over, you know, and losing a parent is the natural order of things. But when you have to bury a child, it changes
crazy.
You forever, mm-hmm. you know?
So those school shootings hit you a different way.
My God, like sick, like at work, and had to go in the trailer and sit down somewhere. Mm-hmm. I just, yes.
So you're overly protective with your kids, I'm sure.
You know what? I have to pray a lot and because I don't want my life experience to disrupt them growing and becoming and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I say a prayer and push them out the door.
Mm.
And I feel like when you hold people back too much, that's when they buck. And I'm like, oh, that's what y'all doing? Oh, okay. You know, mm-hmm. and let them go for it.
Right.
I can't
right.
put my thing on them.
Is there ever a time when it's too difficult to try and make other people laugh because you're busy dealing with your own
I feel like comedy is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that till after my mother got shot, because I wanted to be that snot bubble that's hanging out of Viola's nose. You know what I mean? I just wanted to be, like, so dramatic. And I just wanted drama, but I couldn't get a job being dramatic. And after my brother was killed, my mama got in the bed and said, I ain't never getting out.
Mm.
So I said, I don't know what to do, but I do know I can make my mama laugh.
Right.
But I wasn't rewarded for it because I got pinched in church. I got, what talks too much on your report card? What was you talking about? I was telling jokes. Well, go get the belt. I got a joke for you. You're like, so I didn't know being funny was a thing.
Right.
And when she got depressed, I started performing at the foot of her bed every day.
It was her therapy.
And I would do my act and my bit and whatever I was doing. She went from laying down in the bed to sitting up. And then that turned into me coming over there one day and she wasn't in the bed. And I'm like, wait, Mom, where you at? And she's, we're in here. And I was like, who is we? I went across the street and got the neighbors. I told them you was funny. Get that karaoke microphone and tell these people some jokes.
Wow.
And I was like, what? So I'm standing on the fireplace with the thing. Is this thing on? how's everybody doing in the living room? I'm like, what am I doing up here? This is so dumb right now. And I heard a voice as audible as my own say, Niecy, don't be a selfish heifer. It's other people in the world suffering. Go outside and spread this mm-hmm. around.
Ooh.
I go outside. I say, I'm Niecy Nash, and I'm funny. And the industry said, yes, little girl, you are. Come here. And I started working. But I never wanted to be funny. And I built a career being something that wasn't the plan. And though the vision tarries, you wait for it. Because it took me all this time, 20 years later, to finally get a dramatic role in Getting On, which got me the two right. Emmy nominations, which got me to be in Ava DuVernay's Selma, which got me to be in Claws, which, you know, so it happened so late.
Right.
It was just like funny, 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 funny. Oh, here's the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Did it affect you when it came to men, like watching a man assault your mother?
No. I still believe that there were good men out there. So I just never gave up. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is foolishness. I'm not going to paint every man with this brush.
That's right. That's important.
I'm going to just find one who doesn't have a glass to act right.
How have those personal struggles helped you be a better comedian, though?
I feel like, you know, there are many days that I have to laugh to keep from crying. You know what I mean? Because you're not exempt from it. You know, people sometimes think you live a charm life because you're on TV or because you have this X amount of money or X amount of followers. That don't make you exempt from nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? You still go through the same and all of that. And I feel like I still circle back around and always laugh at my pain.
Yeah, sometimes you have to put up, like, you feel like you always have to have up a facade up.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes when you're successful, people look at it and say, well, what does she have to be upset about? Everything's going great for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Right. And it's the biggest lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest lie. But I also think, like, socially, Black people are not socialized to recognize mental illness. You know, it's like you tripping. You always got an attitude. You up and down.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you right. must be... You a Gemini? You know, we got...
That is a fact. Somebody just said that yesterday. Shout out to my girl Gigi. She is a Gemini.
I mean, you with all these things that we color it mm-hmm. underneath and not say, I need help. And it, you know what I'm consumed with, and I really want to break this cycle, is that I am overly obsessed with murder shows. I mean, to the point where I watch all of them.
That's
and I
could
watch it. I know it's not, but let me tell you why I do it. And I'm not even telling you my justification is right, but I'm at least I recognize it. It's that the man who shot my mom, he also shot himself. And when it was time for his funeral, I asked them, could I go? And they said no. And then I thought I saw him maybe almost a year later. Same car. Like, it looked exactly like him. And it terrified is not even the word to describe it. Like, I felt like I was hysterical on the inside. Like, I totally had this meltdown because I thought...
Panic attack.
Because I thought that they lied to me and told me he died when he really didn't.
Right.
So, in part of that, and then the guy who shot my brother, they let him out and he ended up murdering his wife.
Ooh. Wow.
And so, I'm waiting to the end of the story for justice. That's what I want. I want the story resolved. I want the boy when they put the thing on. Like, I want my mama. Yep. Okay. Now I can cut the TV off. Oh wait, there's another one coming on. I'm living for the gotcha. I want you to pay for what you've done, and so I watch for the justice.
But that's good, and the reason that's good is watching those shows make me extra protective of the kids, because I see everything. I see the kidnapping happen.
Yeah.
I see the man jumping the gate. I see all the crime. So now it makes me real nervous. My anxiety is up like times a thousand.
You still can't prevent it, though.
Because I watch it so much, but now you overly try to protect, you know?
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
makes me crazy. So the fact that you're not crazy like that and not really that like that, that's great.
Why did you want to go to the guy's funeral? You wanted to make sure he was dead?
I wanted to... Closure.
Yeah, closure.
Got you.
Closure. Like, he wreaked all of this havoc, and I just wanted to see for myself.
How do you let the guy out that killed your brother, like...
I mean, he served enough time.
That's crazy.
Was he a teenager?
He was a young at the time.
Yeah, he was young.
Oh, okay,
mm-hmm.
okay.
15.
Wow. Well, we appreciate you for joining us and stopping through.
Thank you for having me.
And sharing your story.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Word.
It's Niecy Nash. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Anthony Bourdain.
Spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
So, breaking news, rest in peace to Anthony Bourdain, a gifted storyteller, a writer. He was on CNN. We knew him as a chef as well. He got a Peabody Award back in 2013, and that was for Parts Unknown. He also had 2 Emmy Awards and more than a dozen nominations. He actually committed suicide. Mm. Now, CNN did release a statement. They said, it's with extraordinary sadness we can confirm the death of our friend and colleague, Anthony Bourdain. His love of great adventure, new friends, fine food and drink, and the remarkable stories of the world made him a unique storyteller. His talents never cease to amaze us, and we will miss him very much. Our thoughts and prayers are with his daughter and family at this incredibly difficult time. He was actually in France. He was working on an upcoming episode of his award-winning CNN series, Parts Unknown. And that's when his close friend, Eric Raypart, found him unresponsive in his hotel room.
So sad.
Listen, man, go check on your rich, successful friend who you think got it all together.
Go check on everybody.
Because you never know.
They ain't got to be rich. Check on any of your friends. Mm-hmm. Let's see what they're going
through. No, but I'm being specific because you see all of these people this week that are killing themselves who are supposed to be rich and have it all together. So go check on your strong, rich, successful friend who you think is just doing so great in life because you never know.
All right. So just again, our prayers and condolences go out to Anthony Bourdain's friends and family. All right. Kid Cudi and Kanye West Kids See Ghost album has
I thought y'all said this album was depressing.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, I haven't heard it either.
I've heard it.
If you said it was depressing.
I heard it on the way in.
So this is a terrible segue then.
And some of the songs, I was a little confused.
I haven't heard it yet.
I'm not a huge Cudi fan. I like some of Cudi's music, but I'm not a huge Cudi fan. And sometimes it puts me in a... I heard
but
it this morning.
I will
put me
say,
in a dark place.
But do y'all want to hear some of it?
But I will say real quick, I've heard a lot of kids say that Kid Cudi has kept them from harming themselves. Mm. My man Pete Davidson always says that.
He did.
All right, so the album opens up with the song Feel the Love, and Pusha T is first up. Check it out.
We not worry about no others. We the mother again. You bust down a rollie, I bust down a brick. Then I flooded again. I am not to be compared to you rappers. Easy does it, hugging. I am more easy, you trying your best to become me, hugging. She like them bottles with bubbles in it. Buy her Loewe another linen. Why would I wait when there's other women? Why would I hate we in love with winning? Ooh! Buy her bundles, fly her out. Bring a friend, I try her out. Ain't no worries finding out. The details is ironed out.
All right, and then you get to hear Kid Cudi and Kanye on the hook of Feel the Love. All right, what you guys think of that? That's how the album opens up with that song, Feel the Love.
That record is actually dope. I mean, when you put it together with Pusha T's verse, that record was...
That was the same song.
That was the same song, yeah.
Oh, okay, I haven't heard it yet.
Mm-hmm. All right, and here is part of Reborn. Here's Kanye's verse.
Very rarely do you catch me out. Y'all done specially invited guests me out. Y'all been telling jokes that's gonna stress me out. Soon as I walk in, I'm like, let's be out. I was off the chain. I was often drained. I was off the meds. I was called insane. What an awesome thing. Engulfed the shame. I want all the rain. I want all the pain. I want all the smoke. I want all the blame. Cardio, audio, let me jog your brain. Caught in the Audi home, we was all detained. All of you Mario, it's all the game.
I'm just shocked all these albums coming out when they said that they was coming out. Drop on the clues, bro.
Yeah,
they all have 7 songs for good music, so 7 songs on each of these albums. Nas is supposed to be next week.
It's still not on the streaming service yet, because I couldn't pull it up on the streaming service.
Yeah, so I guess they've done a deal with Wave, and so you have to download the Wave app in order to be able to hear these first, and then I'm sure later today.
I'll just go to SoundCloud. They're on SoundCloud.
Yeah, the streaming service.
And because they're finishing these albums so late, like literally Pusha T's verse just came in yesterday. Literally.
All right, Chris Rock, he doesn't want the Obamas to go to Netflix. He doesn't love the idea, he said, of Barack and Michelle Obama working with Netflix. He told The Hollywood Reporter, I don't want to live in a world where President Obama is worried about his Rotten Tomatoes score. I want him above that at all times. He said, make your money, but I don't want him to be involved with that. So it's too late, though. They already have a multi-year agreement to produce new films and shows with Netflix, and
you know, President Obama already said in a well, former President Obama already said in a statement, one of the simple joys of our time in public service was getting to meet so many fascinating people from all walks of life and to help them share their experiences with a wider audience. So there you have it. They are going to be there.
If a TV star can be president, then a president can be a TV star. I mean, I don't see the problem.
Why not?
Okay. Well, we don't even know if he's going to be in it.
If an executive producer of a TV show can be president,
there you go.
Then a president can be an executive producer of a TV show.
There you go.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, Charlamagne, who are you giving that donkey to?
Oh, man, I need this guy named Matthew Haverly to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him, please.
All right, we'll
He's from Pennsylvania.
We'll get into that when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You get donkey of the day, yeah, you dumb ass. You get donkey of the day, yeah, you dumb ass.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm gonna fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was gonna be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Donkey of the Day for Friday, June 8th, goes to a young man named Matthew Haverly. Now, Matthew is from Pennsylvania, and he was interviewed on TV about a dead body found in a creek near his home. Yes, police found a woman's body wrapped in a tarp near Matthew's home. So, of course, news outlets wanted to talk to him about all the commotion surrounding his house. Let's go to NewsWatch 16 for the report, please.
I had no clue. Sad to say that that's someone's either daughter, mother, whatever, both, child, I think. It was kind of a hit, and something happened. Something went bad, and this is like a rural area, so they just wanted to plant the body somewhere else besides wherever the hell they were from. It would be like a place where people from the city would want to put a body because most likely they wouldn't be found. I'm guessing, like, my mother, she would be concerned.
Mm. Matthew said his mother would be concerned. Well, I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, but I do know the full story. And I don't think Matthew's mother would be concerned about the body found near their home. And it's a perfectly good reason. I don't think she would care. Let's go to Fox 2 Now, St. Louis, for the report, please.
NewsWatch 16's Christina Papa interviewed Matthew Haverly after a woman's body was discovered in a creek near Camptown. Haverly gave the impression he didn't have any idea what was going on. Later, the same day as the interview, investigators identified the woman found in the creek as 60-year-old Patricia Haverly. Her son didn't even hint toward knowing it was her. So when Haverly mentioned it could be someone's mother, it turned out it was his own mother. But during his interview with NewsWatch 16, he said he thought it was someone from out of town. Haverly lives across the street from where the body was found. When NewsWatch 16 asked him again what he thought, Haverly continued to talk about mob or gang-related killings. Haverly also spoke about his mother's possible reaction to troopers finding a body near their home. When police identified the woman as his own mother and arrested Haverly later in the day for her death.
My goodness.
Matthew is cold-blooded, all right? True sociopath, psychopath, all kind of different paths that you shouldn't even walk on, all right? This is why you got to kick your kids out of the house after a certain age. Matthew was 38, living at home with his mom, who was 60, and for whatever reason, he woke up one day and decided he wanted to kill his mom and then did an interview with a local news station and told the news station his mother would be concerned, okay? Matthew was correct, okay? He was correct when he said this part. What was the part he said? Listen to what Matthew told NewsWatch 16 about. This could possibly be somebody's mama.
That's someone's either daughter, mother, whatever, both.
Yeah, yeah. You were correct, Matthew. That was somebody's sister, okay? And those somebodies were your aunts and uncles, all right? And that body was somebody's daughter, mm-hmm. okay? Your granddad and grandma. And that body was somebody's mama. Yours, okay? What Matthew did was the Caucasian version of when Bishop killed Raheem and Juice and pulled up to the wake talking to Raheem's mom and sister like it was nothing. Y'all remember this?
Hey, Roland. How you doing?
I should be asking you that.
I'd feel better if I knew the police had somebody, though, you know. They say there was no witnesses.
I've been asking around, too. Nobody seemed to have seen or heard anything. Remember me, Miss Porter? Roland Bishop?
Yes. Roland, thanks for coming.
You don't have to thank me for that. I mean, Raheem was one of my best friends. It's really nice to see people come together like this when something bad happens, you know? Yes. I mean, personally for me, though, Raheem was like my brother. I mean, he was more than a brother. If there's anything I can do, just let me know.
That was juice. What Matthew did was mayonnaise. Please give Matthew Haverly the biggest hee-haw. There's some cold people in this world.
Yeah, there.
Cold, cold people.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Now.
Absolutely. It's Friday, so you know what that means. It's freaky Friday. Now, I'm very excited because today is June 8th.
All right.
All right.
And what's June 8th in your life?
And June 8th in my life. I actually wrote about this in my book. On June 8th, 1998, it was the first time that I had sex with my now wife. Drop one of Clues bombs for me.
The first time. And
first time I ever smashed.
She was intoxicated.
Wife. I was intoxicated too. Mm-hmm. All right. Don't put me out there like that. All right. Don't me too. Okay.
Right. You've been trying to have sex with her for
after a year of courtship.
Of course.
You know, me taking her out on dates and movies and all of that kind of stuff.
It took one drunk night.
And the reason I remember that night was because it was my cousin's born day. His born day is on June 8th. Mm-hmm. And we was at a function for him. And we were both intoxicated and we got it in.
At the house?
At my mother's house. Yes. I was living with my mom at the time. All right. Mm-hmm. And because I was a kid. We're both kids, mm-hmm. you know, and we had sex. But I celebrate the first time that I ever smashed my woman. You don't?
No.
You've been with your woman 24 years and you don't celebrate the first time y'all smashed?
We celebrate.
They have a lot of other things to celebrate.
We celebrate.
A lot of birthdays for a lot of kids.
No, but we celebrate the first time. We celebrate the first time we actually went out. Where we said, will you go out?
You know the date of your first date?
Like, will you go out with me? Yes, I'll go out with you. That was the,
you
we celebrate that's
the
October.
First time you went out. You celebrate the first time you went into that poom poom. Okay, June 8th, 1998, 20-year anniversary of me smashing my wife. I can't be alone out here in these streets.
I know it was in August. I just don't know the exact date. It was before I went to college, but I don't know the exact, was it August this? I don't, I'm sure my wife knows.
Must not have been memorable.
It was definitely memorable.
You think she knows?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you better not know. You better not know, and she knows.
She knows.
Yeah, so you better figure out the date, young man.
But I got to figure it out since you want to bring this up, and there's a lot of men probably that's listening in the car right now with their girlfriends
June
and their wives.
8th.
And they're asking, and they don't know because they didn't write that down or they don't have that in their memory.
June 8th, 1998. 20 years of the same poom poom. Talk to me.
And the reason another reason I know so well, never mind.
Tell me.
Why?
Because I couldn't figure out how to put the condom on. Like, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate light-skinned
people. I'm going to be honest.
I hate light-skinned
You know how to put the condom on the first time?
Yes, man. I hate light-skinned dudes. Why do I talk to y'all?
I don't feel like condoms are that difficult.
I think I had it on backwards.
When I saw a house party and kid couldn't put
Maybe
that condom on,
big.
I knew light-skinned dudes was really dumb, but I thought that was just a movie.
I didn't know which.
Did you squeeze the air out?
I hate waffle color.
No.
The tip?
No.
The reservoir tip?
Hate beige people.
We hate you, too, and we're going to Wakanda.
No, you're not.
And wait till Monday. I can't wait for Monday.
Ain't no condoms in Wakanda. I'm telling you that right now.
No, I'm not going to talk about
that. They got the cure for every disease in Wakanda.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking Monday. The lady from what? African ancestor? And I'm approved.
Her name is Gina Page.
And I'm approved that I'm an African.
Her name is, first of all, stay on subject. Her name is Gina Page from African ancestry. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, today is my 20-year anniversary of me smashing my wife. All right? I can't be alone.
So what do you do tonight?
What do you mean?
It's an anniversary. What are you going to do? How are you going to celebrate you?
The same thing they
jerk.
I'll be sleeping in the basement.
He's going to jerk.
It's my anniversary. What are you going to do tonight?
Hey! Oh. I'll be in my basement on Instagram Live singing this by myself, knowing me.
Baby, you know,
okay.
I remember this day like it was yesterday.
Shut up.
You tied me up, bit me over.
You speaking for yourself right now.
800-585.
Get the strap, Gil. Yeah, get the strap.
Literally.
800-585-1051. Do you remember the first time? Do you celebrate the first time y'all had sex? Is that an anniversary
I can't
that y'all
be alone on this?
That y'all, I guess, celebrate?
If you've been with your woman a long time, like I've been with my woman a long
years.
Time, and you've been your woman, with your woman a long time,
24.
You should remember the first time y'all had sex. You should remember the date. You should remember the exact moment, everything.
I just remember when my boyfriend it was around Halloween.
See, she's not married.
Yeah, I'm not married.
All right, anyway, 800-585-1051 is the Breakfast Club.
You said what?
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky Friday.
And today is Charlamagne's anniversary.
Not my wedding anniversary. My wedding anniversary is in September. This is the anniversary of the first time that me and my wife ever had sexual intercourse. June 8th, 1998.
Now, it's kind of cheating because you remember because it's also your cousin's birthday.
It was my cousin's born day. Not only was it my cousin's born day, I had a... I had a friend who died on June 8th. So that day, June 8th, is always in my head. But yes, my first time I've had sex with my wife, June 8th, 1998. I remember like it was yesterday because I've been courting her for a year, you know, taking her to movies and stuff, you know, Applebee's, you know what I'm saying? Because back then I was balling, you know what I mean?
See,
Applebee's, Red Lobster.
I was in Tony Romas.
You hear me? Okay.
Tony Romas.
So, yes. You know, I have been trying to get with her and, you know, she wasn't giving me no action on that end. And then we both got drunk.
I bet you my boyfriend probably knows the exact date. I know around the time, and I could probably look it up. But I do remember that he was disappointed in his performance.
Your boyfriend was disappointed?
Yeah.
Why? Because was he drunk too?
No.
Why was
he
disappointed?
He just was disappointed in his performance. He felt like he could have did better.
Oh. And mine was around.
He felt like he could have lasted longer.
I definitely didn't last long at all.
You know, I definitely lasted long. I was young and drunk. You know, when you young and you on that yacht, shoot.
You was probably horrible. You probably
was
sticky.
Hours.
That poor girl.
Hours all day.
That poor girl.
That poor girl who became my wife.
Yeah.
We Me Too'd each other, by the way, because we both was drunk. We both was drunk, so I married the woman I Me Too'd, and she married
okay.
me.
All right.
That's
what? Enough. This guy is TMI, man.
That's not really a Me Too situation if you guys both.
No, we both were drunk. We took advantage of each other.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is King. What's up, Evie?
King, what's up, bro?
Charlamagne and Miss Yee. What's happening, y'all?
What's happening, brother?
Do you celebrate the first time you had sex with your wife or your girl, man?
I wouldn't say we celebrate it, but it's definitely oftentimes brought up around the exact same time every year.
So you remember the date?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me stop lying.
See?
I don't remember the date, but I remember the day. Like, I remember what
happened.
No,
we're not talking about the day. We all remember the day. What date was it? You all remember.
No, I do remember because it was my cousin's birthday.
See, that's cheating,
and,
man.
Oh, my gosh.
It happened after the party.
So what's the date?
Now you made me feel bad.
Well,
my cousin's birthday.
I need you to go on your mental Rolodex. I need you to figure out this date. I think brothers need to start celebrating the first time we had sex with our significant others, especially if we've been with them for a long time and plan to be with them for the rest of our life.
Were y'all drunk too, bro?
I was. She wasn't. And that's why it's hard to remember. I was wasted, but she wasn't. She was sober like a nun.
So she took advantage of you.
Yeah, pretty much. Angel.
Yeah, what's going on?
Do you celebrate the first time you had sex with your girl or your wife, man?
Now, we don't celebrate it, but we often remember and we often talk about it because she know I didn't play. This is a Brooklyn I put it on the Bronx girl.
No, all right. We know you put it
what
on.
What Burrow's got
what
to do
was
with
the date? What was the date?
She right here. Babe, what was the date?
Yeah, you don't know. She don't remember
you know
either.
You know what? Are we supposed to remember?
That's what I said.
A lot of times, women remember because that's when they was ovulating. What's the word?
Ovulating. Can we speak to her? Can we speak
stuff
to
like
her,
that.
Bro?
What?
That's silly.
You know what it's just
I don't remember. I really don't. You don't remember
neither. Well, let me ask you, Mama.
We remember the feeling.
Mama, was he really that good, Mama?
No, he actually fell down the stairs. So
He fell down the stairs.
So I had to run down and get a condom.
My brother. He was excited. I understand.
You know, the funny thing is, Mom was in the city, and I had to go downstairs and get a condom too. I wasn't prepared. Like
that's so funny because when you have to go get that condom, that does kind of like. By the time you leave and go get it, we might change our mind.
I know. I came back with flowers.
Because I remember I had to think again. I was like, maybe I don't.
I came back with apple cider because I wasn't drinking. I came back with flowers and apple cider and a condom.
That's good, though, when you don't have a condom, though, because you don't want to assume
exactly
that you're getting some. You know what I'm saying? Because I'd be feeling like sometimes when you with a girl back in the day and, like, you pull a condom, it's like, oh, you just knew you was going to get some, huh? Like, that's like, eh.
Yeah, but you still, like,
So, did you go raw?
What, the first time I had sex with my wife?
It just shows you're responsible.
Probably. That I don't remember.
Oh, so you remember the date 20 years ago, but you don't remember whether or not you used
that
a condom?
That I really don't remember. I'm pretty sure we was both drunk, so I'm pretty sure I definitely
hit it
wrong. You don't remember you put a condom on that little ass penis?
But I knew she was going to be with me for the rest of my life.
I know what it looks like.
800-585-1051.
Okay, that's why I hit raw.
Do you remember the
It's okay to hit raw if you know she's going to be with you for the rest of your life.
Do you remember the first time you had sex? You remember that date? Do you celebrate it? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're asking, do you remember the date that you, the first time you had sex with your girl or your wife? Now,
yes.
Today is Charlamagne's anniversary of this date.
Yes. The first time I ever had sex with my wife was June 8th, 1998. So we are celebrating 20 years of unprotected sex. We're married now. And the reason I remember that date is because that was my cousin's born day. And that's I had been up. Courting her for like a year, you know, taking her out to the movies and dinner and stuff like that. And she never would give me no play. But that night when we were both intoxicated.
So you really don't remember the
we
date.
We took advantage of
you
each other.
You just remember your cousin's birthday.
June 8th. Actually.
Oh, boy.
It was June 9th because it was after midnight. Now that I think about
it. All right. You had a date wrong.
Now that I think about it. All right.
This guy. Hello, who's this?
OP.
OP. Now, you remember the date? The first time you had sex with your, I don't want to be presumptuous, your man or your girl?
My man, I'm my girl, man. What type of man you is?
What type of man you is? That's right. Tell him I'll play you.
That got a girl. That's what type of man I am.
I don't want to be presumptuous.
Tell him. You don't like boys. Hey,
listen, I remember the date because it was my homeboy's birthday. It was a new thing, you know. It was the first time. And I had this.
How long y'all been together?
6 months.
6 months?
6 months.
Man, that ain't nothing, man. Call me in about a couple years. Man.
Well, it was a one-night stand. He didn't court. It was no courting.
Yeah, it was a one-night stand. I wasn't even supposed to be there after 6 days, man.
Oh, okay. Y'all still together? Good job.
Yeah, man. I love baby, man. I'm about to put the O-V-E on after the L. You feel me?
Oh, my goodness.
O-V-E after the L. What is
love.
That?
Oh, love.
You guys are crazy. You guys are slow. You guys are L-O-W after the S.
O-V-E after the L.
I said O-V-E. Where you go? Anyway. Hello, who's this?
Yo, DJ MB from the 954.
What's up, bro? We're talking. Do you celebrate the first time you had sex with your wife, man? Or your girl?
I most certainly. No, she's my wife now, but that's my girl at the time. I definitely want to say what up to Charlamagne the God. Peace, God.
Peace, my brother.
Queen Angela.
Hey, boo.
So also what took place was, it was my birthday. We was courting for like 7 months, bro. And it was my birthday. I wasn't even expecting it anymore, bro. I got caught slipping, man. It was the best 1 minute of my slipping. Entire life.
Y'all still together now?
They still together, he said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We married now. So my talk game was amazing, bro. Shout out to my talk game. I blamed it on her because she made me wait for like 7 minutes.
Do you remember the exact date, though?
Yeah, March 10th. It was my birthday.
It's March 10th. Okay.
See, it's his birthday. That's not
all that
fair.
Cheating, my birthday, your cousin's birthday. You don't even remember
day
my
after
date.
Biggie died.
How could you forget your birthday?
You know? What's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story is this is my anniversary. I think that, you know, all guys out there should remember the first time that they had sex with their significant other, especially if you've been with them for a while. And if you don't know, you need to go into your mental Rolodex and find out that date and celebrate it. You know, I got flowers sent to the house right now. Mm. And you know what the message on the card says?
What?
Thank you for letting me 20 years ago today, I love you.
That's so cool.
That's what I put in the card.
I told you, you should rhyme. You should be like, tonight when I get home, you know I'm going to suck. Thank you, baby, for letting me. That's, you got to rhyme with it. That's bars.
That's
okay, so when
bars.
It's when it's your anniversary in
you're
what,
no
August,
ghostwriter.
Make sure to put in your card, thank you, baby, for bending me over and hitting it from the back. As my man Curtis Jackson says,
get the strap.
Yeah.
Strap and back don't rhyme.
Strapping back do rhyme.
It rap. Okay. All right. Yeah, you guys are stupid.
And if not, I can make a rhythmic pattern.
What?
All right, when I'm hitting it from the back.
Blap, blap.
You guys are kicking.
Strapping blap rhyme.
We got rumors on the way.
Yes, we'll tell you about a celebrity who says that her kids are just using the credit cards to order things online. Find out what costs $5,000 on
Amazon.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yes, we are.
Now, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Kim Kardashian.
Listen up.
This just in. All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
So Kim Kardashian was on with Van Jones yesterday on CNN, and she was talking about telling Alice Marie Johnson that she would be freed. Here was the phone call. This is her describing it.
She gets on the phone, and I think she thought it was a routine phone call with her attorneys, and she was surprised and excited that I was on the phone. And then I was a little bit shocked because she was very calm, and right. I had assumed she knew. So I just was like, wait, she doesn't know? And Alice was like, no, what? And I was like, you're going home. I can like cry thinking about it. Hearing her scream, I know I'm gonna cry so much when I see her, but just to know that like we changed one person's life.
Dropping the clues bombs with Kim Kardashian, man. If celebrity is what it takes to get through to Donald Trump, then line all the celebrities up and arm them with information and let's see what they can get out of this administration.
Now, of course, people were very critical of Kim Kardashian after this. They still were making jokes and not taking it seriously. Here's what she has to say.
Trump is using you as a political pawn. You've endorsed him in a way. You've kind of given him legitimacy. You might be in a campaign video. He used you.
I think Kanye's already given him legitimacy, so I don't, you know, in that way. So I was working on this before, so I don't think I would be used, mm-hmm. you know. And at the end of the day, he heard me out. We got the job done. So I don't think, like, what could he really use me for?
Oh, so what? Everybody is using each other. In fact, if you can't be used, you're useless. Just don't let people misuse you. And I think it's a very selfless act to let somebody use you. Like,
Kanye actually put that in his book of Kanye-isms. If it can't be used, you're useless.
You're useless, yeah. But, you know, I don't see anything that she did wrong, and I don't think that we should let, you know, your politics, your bias, or your personal disdain for a celebrity get in the way of progress.
Well, I'm glad she got it done, though.
Yeah,
that's
Alice, the most Alice Marie that. Johnson's very glad. She don't care what you think.
Her being
about.
Released is a step in the right direction, and it's a
All
great
right,
thing.
Now, speaking of release, Lil Wayne has been released from his Cash Money Records deal. He got a multi-million dollar settlement. According to rumors, that's going to be upwards of $10 million. And he no longer is signed to Birdman. He's free. He's a free man. He also can put out the Carter Five. And he signed directly to Universal moving forward. So congratulations to Lil Wayne, finally.
And he knows he's going to get his check because it's not Birdman cutting it. It's Universal.
Now, his attorney, Ron Sweeney, has said, I can say my client is happy. He's his own man, a man that owns his assets, his music, himself. At some point, Wayne will let his fans know what's going to happen next. So he is happy.
Why are you throwing signs at me, sir?
No reason.
Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon, their son... actually went online and ordered a dog. I guess the kids do all kinds of things, ordering stuff online. Now, according to Mariah Carey, she said she has to control them with the iPads. Here's what she had to say on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
My son is like a technological genius. Like, by the way, he ordered a dog the other day.
What?
He went with his father, and, like, because I have to control them with the iPads, because otherwise, like, literally, he charged $5,000 on something, like...
No, he
Amazon.
Didn't.
Yeah, he did. Like, he figures everything out and be like, let me do it. I'm like, you're 6 years old. That's when he was 16. And then, like, the other night, apparently he was with Nick and he ordered a dog.
Yeah. Has the dog arrived or did you cancel the dog?
The dog's been canceled.
Just because you can order a dog doesn't make you a technological genius.
But she's saying, in general, like, the kids know how to do everything on the iPads and they're young and they order things and do all kinds of stuff.
Six isn't that young.
Listen, it's a different day and age. It is a different day because they probably know how to do more than what she knows how to do.
Yeah, because she's old, but that's how they grew up. They grew up with iPads and iPhones and all that kind of stuff. It's easy for them.
I don't know what else her kids know how to do, but you know.
You know what technological genius is? Building an iPad.
Giving some examples.
Okay. Building an iPhone.
All right, Reese Witherspoon has confirmed Legally Blonde 3 is on the way, so that should be exciting. She put an Instagram post up. And they were talking about how they were trying to do a deal with her. Luke Wilson is in that original movie also.
Are you excited about that?
I am.
Oh, Charlamagne?
I like Reese Witherspoon. I like Luke Wilson
a
lot,
too. Do I look like I ever watched some goddamn Legally Blonde?
Yes.
Hell out of here.
It's pretty funny.
I like Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon. Now, that was an amazing movie.
Now, let's be clear, though. Legally Blonde, when that movie was first released in 2001, it grossed $141 million worldwide. And then Legally Blonde 2 made $124 million. That was back in 2001, so... All right, Lin-Manuel Miranda, his play In the Heights is set to be in the movies now. It's going to hit theaters in 2020. It's going to be a summer event movie. Warner Brothers is putting that out. They got the rights to that after a bidding war earlier in the spring. So congratulations to Lin-Manuel Miranda. You know him from Hamilton as well. He's the one that wrote and starred in Hamilton.
He's been a paper before.
Dropping the clues bombs for the homie.
Mm-hmm. We went to the same college. Shout out to Wesleyan University. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Shout out to everybody that's going to prom, too. My daughter's going to prom tonight, so.
Hey, salute to everybody going to prom. Dropping the clues bombs for the prom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people lose their virginity on prom night.
A lot of people don't.
I'm just saying. Why are you getting so defensive? Relax.
What?
A lot of people lose their virginity on prom
and
night.
And a lot of people don't.
And the Warriors are playing tonight, so Steph Curry don't got to be the only one with the shot, boy.
Yeah.
Okay?
A lot of people lose their virginity before the prom. Before prom night.
That is very true. That's how you pick your prom date.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you pick your prom date. Most of the time, you pick your prom date based off somebody you, like, fingered during the year, maybe had sex with. What you think, Envy?
I don't think so. You pick your prom. You pick your prom date on somebody you like that you think is a very nice person. But tonight, somebody please,
person.
Somebody please tell me how I can watch the game from my phone because I'm going to the prom tonight.
Why are you going to the prom?
I'm going to make sure.
Who you taking to the prom?
I'm not taking. I'm nobody. I'm going to make sure everything
make sure
is.
What?
You're somebody.
Make sure what? Make sure what? Make sure
everything's alright. That's
you,
all.
Oh, you gonna make sure some guy didn't treat your. Make sure some guy doesn't treat your daughter the way you treated somebody's daughter when you was that age.
Well, I took
MB
my wife
was a
to
virgin
prom.
Still at yeah. that age.
Yes, I was a virgin.
He was. Mm.
For my first prom and second prom, I was a virgin. Mm. I was slow.
Mm.
And then this
he was L-O-W followed by an S.
Shut up. All right, Revolt. We'll see you on Monday. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. It's Friday, so let me know what you want to hear.
It's Friday, so you know what that means. It's prom night.
Uh-oh.
It's freaky Friday
prom night.
Nope. All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.